Kadosh Baruch Hu sends Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro to speak to him. So he really should have said, Lech al Paro. Bo al Paro means that Baruch Shalom is going to be there and you come towards me. So the Mefarshim pointed out. Why does it say Bo al Paro? Usually a boss of Adam sends a shliach because the Mishaleach doesn't plan to go there himself. And then the Gemara Gittin has a concept. You need Chazor Shliach as Heitzal Baal. After the shliach delivers the get, that delivers the kiddushin, or makes the kinyan, whatever it is, he has to come back and tell the balabas, "Asisi shlichus secha." And if he can't do that, that's loichazor shlichus heitzal abal. So the whole shlicha is no good in the first place. By the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to be there. So he sends a shlicha. He sends Moshe Rabbeinu as a shlicha, but he's going to be there himself. So what did he need Moshe Rabbeinu for? So Rebbeinu Shel Olam could have told Paro himself in the first place. The only reason why a boss of Adam needs a shliach, because boss of Adam doesn't go all over the whole world. He sends someone else to take care of the things for him, but the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to be there anyway. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam makes us all shlichim to do things that he could have done himself, just to give us a schus that we are become shutfim with him. We become shutfim. He doesn't need us as shutfim. We become shutfim with him. Rav Soloveitchik has a whole essay about this, a drasha that's called Shlichus, the title of Shlichus, that there's a concept of Shlichus Shel Adam Kimoisai, that Baruch Shalom makes us in Shliach, so we become elevated, we become like him, Shlichus Shel Adam Kimoisai. In all of life, it's like that. Whoever accomplishes anything, whatever Habotis HaTorah I accomplished, Baruch Shalom could have done without me. He didn't need me. He gave me a schus, I should be his Shliach. To become a shutif with him, I get schar, and he gives me a level of a higher level. Shluchu shaladim kemoisan. We have the first mitzvah that the Jewish people was given. Avraham Avinu was given a mitzvah of bris mila, and Yanka was given a mitzvah of gidon osher. But the opening Rashi and Bereshis points that mitzvah is shayna. Shenitztav bo klal Yisrael was hachodesh asalachem reish chadoshim. That's in this week's sedra. and the Mechilta says, HaChodesh Zeh Lachem, Lachem Eloi L'Umas Olam, that for the Umas Olam Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah, and for the Jewish people Nisan is the beginning of the year. What does that mean? So the opening Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah records this practice. That's a question, is this the conventional practice or this is a real din? So the Ran on the Rift on the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah said this is a real din. And the Netziv on Parsha's Bay in his commentary on the Parsha talks about it. That when you, years ago, when they used to write the shtaris, a get or a ksuba or a kiddush, shtar kiddushim, whatever, or shtar mechira, so they used to write, they didn't write like we do today. We write how many years it is since the Brias Oilam. That was a later practice. And that's why there's a question, is it really accurate? We write that this year is Chameshes Alafim Tavshin Ayin Ches. Tavshin Ayin Ches. That's all based on the assumption that the Bayis Sheni lasted 420 years. That's how the Gemara says. The Bayis Rishon lasted 410 years. That says in Tanakh. Bayis Sheni, that the Gemara has a historical oral tradition that lasted 420 years. The Baal HaMor in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, on the bottom of the rift, says that we know from the history books that it's not correct, that it was much longer than that. History books claim that it was more than 150 years longer than 420. The Gemara in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah says all those kings mentioned in Tanakh, it's all the same person. He has many different names. In the history books, they were different kings who ruled one after the other after the other. So you have another 150 years, 160 years added on. So the Ravid learned the Harusa with the Baal HaMor. So the Ravid says, Apikeres. The Gemara says the Bayis Sheni was only 420 years. And the Baal HaMor said, over the course of history, there were many, many assumed like the Baal HaMor, that the Gemara made a mistake in history. And others insisted, no, that the Gemara is correct. So we had all the Gittin that we write, they're all puzzle. It could be that they're all puzzle. We write 5,000 Tavshin Ayin Ches. So the answer is we write the Minyashan Amon and Kat, according to the way we count. So even if we're wrong, but that's the way we count, the Minyashan Amon and Kat. How can it be that there's a mistake? Because this was a later practice that was introduced in the days of the Rishonim. You count how many years it is to be a soul. In the days of the Gemara, they counted how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina. And there's a Mishnah in Gittin that if you didn't write how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina, since the king took over in France or Germany, whatever, the whole get is possible. Midirabbanan, Mishum Shlom Malchus. Tyson says, we don't do it anymore, Bizban Azeh. But Tyson says, the whole reason for the Takana was Mishum Shlom Malchus. And today, the governments couldn't care less. They don't care what we write. They're not Makbe. The American government doesn't care what we write in Ksuba, what we write in Get. So the whole Takana doesn't apply today. But years ago, when the government was Makbe, so there was a Takana Satanaim, you have to write how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina. So how do you count that? So in America, they count from July 4th to July 4th. When it comes July 4th of the next year, they write it's another year since Hakamas HaMedina. So the Mishnah says you don't do that. Opening Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that there's a cutoff point. So Echad B'Tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah, is Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Umas Olam. And Echad B'Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Yisrael. What it means is, let's say they appointed a new king in Chodesh Elul, even the Erev Rosh Hashanah, they appointed a new king. So when it comes the first day of Rosh Hashanah, that's already called Shana Shnei L'Malchus Pleini. And if it's a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't help. The Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis Din. So even if it's true, but she doesn't rule over Eretz Yisrael anymore. There was a time that Palestine was under the British Empire. So maybe then, if she's really Jewish, maybe then. But now that the Queen of England doesn't rule over Eretz Yisrael, that's not called Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael means if it's a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. And it means something to them. Morris says that there was Artaxasto in the beginning of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the butler to the king of Bavel, and he serves the breakfast in bed to the king. And the king's name is Artaxasto. So the opening Rashi on Nehemiah quotes from the Midrashim that Artaxasto was Jewish. His mother was Esther Hamalka. His father was Achashverosh. His father was a goy. Mother was Jewish. So it turned out, as an accident of fate, turned out that he happened to be Jewish. His mother was Jewish. So in the beginning, he was the king of Sheva V'Yesem in Me'er Medina. He got everything Birusha from his father. And the first years of his life, it meant something to him, because his mother was still alive. Esther Amalka was still alive. And it meant something to him that he is a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael. He had another 126 Medinas, but it meant something to him. Then the Gemara says, La'acha Shehechmetz, that was Kodim Shehechmetz, before it turned into vinegar. Wine turns into vinegar. So first he was wine. And then Acha Shehechmetz, after the mother died, and they had no Jewish education, he had no Jewish education at all. So after the mother died, then it didn't mean anything to him. He was a totally secular person. So originally his government was called the Malchus Yisrael, and the years changed when it comes from Shechedesh Nissan. And then after Lacha Shechmetz, and it was totally secular with no, it didn't mean anything to him that he's Jewish ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So then the years of his kingdom change when it comes Rosh Hashanah, Echad B'Tishrei. The Gemara explains Psukim in Tanakh like that. How come it switches in midstream? That sometimes his years change when it comes Echad B'Nissan, sometimes it changes when it comes Echad B'Tishrei. So that's what the Nitziv explains in his Biur on the Terei Sedra. He explains this Ran on the opening Mishnah, the Ran on the Rif, in the opening Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that this is not just a conventional practice that the Tanaim had, this is a real din. That Achorish Zazel Lachem, Lachem Ulo Lenochim, Lachem Ulo Mesoilim. That there are two types of history. There's history that's governed with the rules and regulations of history. And then there's history that's Lamayla Menateva. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in Sheishis and Ebereishis, so he established principles of physics and chemistry and mathematics and astronomy and some biology, and the established principles of history also. So if a person understands the situation, he knows how to analyze the situation well, and he understands the rules of history, he can predict the future. So that's as far as Malchus Umas Olam is concerned. So all of secular history, all of world history is considered, follows the rules and regulations of history that were established in Sheishis Mei Bereishis when Hashem created the world. So Echad B'Tishrei is Hayom HaRasalim, that's the birthday of the world. So Echad B'Tishrei is considered the new year, as far as all world history is concerned. As far as Jewish history is concerned, everything is L'mayla Min HaTeva. That's what the Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash. He quotes the Gemara in the end of Maseches Masechah Shabbos, the Gemara has a whole blot Gemara with story after story. The Gemara says that a mazal Yisrael, that if you look into the stars, if you know how to read the stars properly, you can predict the future. So that only applies to the Umas HaOilam, to world history. As far as Jewish history is concerned, we are not Tachashlitas HaKachav V'HaMazalos. That's what it means, Ein Mazal Yisrael. The Ramban writes on Chumash, does it make sense that what it says in Kriya Shema, that if we keep the mitzvahs, the rain will come. And if we violate Averis, we'll be sent into Golus. If we violate the laws of Shemitah, we'll be sent into Golus. It doesn't make sense that the rain should depend on whether we're going to keep mitzvahs or not. And keeping Eretz depends whether you keep Shemitah or not. So he says, Jewish history is Ma'alem HaNateva. It's not subject to the rules and any rules and regulations of nature. So there are two Hanhogas. Tishrei represents a Hanhog of Teva, because B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, we assume. And Nisan represents Nisim. B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asirim Lehigoyel. What does it mean, Gula? That's another thing. The Ramban HaChumash has in the Hagdamah the Chumash Mois. He says the Chumash Mois is the book, the Sefer, that talks about the first Golus of the Jewish people and the Gula therefrom. Gracious, it talks about all the beginnings, beginning of the world, beginning of mankind, beginning of the Jewish people, the Ovis and the Shvatim. And then Shmos talks about the first Golus and the Gula. So the Ramban raises the question, but the Gula is only when you come back to Eretz Yisrael. When you get to the end of the Chumash, you still didn't return to Eretz Yisrael, because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So Yeshua ben Nun is the one who has the Gula. So how does the Ramban say? He raises a question against himself, how can he say that Sefer Shmos is about the Golus and the first Golus and the Gula therefrom? So he says the main issue with the Golus was not so much that we were Chutz Laaretz. The main issue was that we didn't have Soda Laka Alei Ohalehem. He paraphrases a pasuk in Sefer Iyov. Ovis Hein Hein Hamerkoda Avram Yitzin Yagavet Had Hashvas Hashchinim. So when the Bnei Yisrael went into Mitzrayim, they lost that Hashvas Hashchinim. When you get to the end of Chumash Mos, you have the four Sedras, Chuma Tetzava Vayakal Bikure, about the Binyan HaMishkan, so we got back to Hashuas HaShchina. So even though we were not yet back in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Geula. Geula means when you have a Beis HaMikdosh. In 1948, when they established the Medina, so the Chazanish already lived in Eretz Yisrael from before the Second World War. He was there from a long time before. So he said, this is the end of the Golus, but we don't yet have Geula. So people thought that it was double talk. What it means, the end of the Golus is not good. The end of the Golus, the Jews have the right to return to Eretz Yisrael. It's a Jewish country. They'll take in under the British. They didn't allow many Jews to come to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, this is the end of the Golus, but it's not yet the Geula. The Geula means when you have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Geula yet. So when you get to the end of Chumash Mos, you have the Geula. So Benis Nigalu, I'm not sure whether it refers to Yitzias Mitzrayim occurred in the Chodesh Nisan, or it means Benis Nigalu means that the Mishkan was completed. Shmini Lemiluim was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Benis Nasidim Lehigoyel, what does that mean? I don't know if it means Mashiach is going to come in Nisan. Maybe it means the Beis HaMikdash, because in the end of Yecheskel it says that starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it doesn't say what year. It says, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we will start bringing all the special we'll bring Tamidim U'Masafim. Okay, then in addition to the Tamidim U'Masafim, we will bring special Karbonas for over half a year, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until after Sukkot. That's over six and a half months. Over 6.5 months, I'll bring, just like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they brought Shivas Me'amiluim, and the Yud Beis Nisim brought the first 12 days in Chodesh Nisan. When they built the first Beis HaMikdash, they brought the Chanukah Habayis. It says Shivas Yamim and Shivas Yamim they brought. Then when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, it says they celebrated for 3 weeks. Chanukah's Bayis Sheni, so the Asi Lovet says we're going to celebrate for over 6.5 months. So maybe that's what it means. Benisa Nigalu, Benisa Namasidim Legon. Maybe that's what it's referring to. Benisa Nigalu maybe means that the Shmini Lemiluim was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when the Yud Beis Nisim brought the Chanukah HaMishkan. Maybe Benisan Asidim Le'Gol is referring to what it says in the end of the Navi Yecheskel, that La'asid Lavai, the Chanukah HaBayis HaShlishi, will take place in Chodesh Nisan. But Chodesh Nisan represents Hanhagav Lamaila Min HaTeva. So Jewish history is always Lamaila Min HaTeva. That's what the Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash, that whoever doesn't believe in that idea in the Gemara, that ain't Mazel Israel, doesn't mean the Jews don't have good luck. The Jews have a lot of good luck. These are Jews that are not Tachas Shlitas HaKachavim V'HaMazolos. Ramban says whoever doesn't believe in that is lacking an Iker and Emunah. That's one of the foundations of our belief. So that's the Hanhaga of Nissen. So that's what the Netziv explained. That's why, if it's Malchi Yisrael, it's Jewish history, so Echad B'Nissen is the... Everything revolves about Nissen, Hanhaga L'Malah Ben HaTeva, so then Echad B'Nissen is Rosh Hashanah. As opposed to Malchi Umas O'Elam, all of world history, is Echad B'Tishrei, is Rosh Hashanah. I remember when I was a student in high school, we had one of the required readings was an essay by some politician who predicted years in advance that the Japanese would attack the Americans on a Sunday morning in December, and he said how many years. And he was right, that's what happened. That's when they attacked, and he explained why, because the Japanese like to have a surprise attack, and so the nights are longest in December, and the American soldiers drink Malama Malka, they get drunk, and they wake up late on Sunday morning. So the longest night in the year is going to be a Sunday morning in December. And he had to decide how many years it's going to take till the Japanese will be fed up with the Americans, and they'll attack. So that's what happened. They attacked Pearl Harbor on a Sunday morning in December. He knew how to, if you understand history well, so then you can predict the future. But Jewish history you can't predict. If one Rav Soloveitchik said, if one on this Ramban said, if one were to draw a chart of any world history, so you draw the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, the rise and fall of the Greek government, the rise and fall of the Third Reich, the rise and fall of every country like that. Reaches a peak and it goes down. If you draw a chart of Jewish history, it'll be zigzag, goes up and down, up and down. When we do mitzvahs, we go up. When we do averus, we go down. So that's the Hanhaga of the Ma'alam and Atel. This Misedra has Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva, one of the early Hasidic Rebbes, was a mechutna of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Bala Tanya, the mechutonim. In the end of the Tanya, he has a collection of letters, Igris HaKadosh. One of the letters was to his mechutna. Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcheva lost his son, I think. He's married to the Bala Tanya's daughter. So he sent him a letter of Tanchumim. So the Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcheva has a Sefer Tanchumim that's called Kedushas Levi. Most of it is Hasidus and Kabbalah, and sometimes he gives Poshut Pshat in the Pasuk. Now today Sedri has a very Poshut Pshat in the Pasuk. Bnei Yisrael were instructed to bring a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is a din l'doros throughout all the future generations. When we have a Beis Hamikdash, when we have an opportunity to bring Korbanos, we have an obligation to bring a Korban Pesach. So the Pasuk says, Bnei Yisrael osu, kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe. They brought the Korban Pesach as Moshe Rabbeinu had instructed them. And then they were instructed as a Hayruah Shoah. Once in the history of the world, and never was repeated after that, they were instructed on Erev Pesach, they have to knock on the next door neighbor's door and ask for matonis. That's a Hayruah Shoah only at this time. So there it also says, Bnei Yisrael Osu Kidvar Moshe. How come it doesn't say Bnei Yisrael Osu Kashal Tziva Hashem Es Moshe? Why is the Shinui Loshen? So Rabbi Yitzchak Berditcheva says that the word tzivua is a technical term that has a special technical connotation. A mitzvah, Rashi writes in the opening pasuk in Parshas Tzav. Rashi is quoting from the Tanoim. Almost all the Rashi's Achum is quoting from the Gemara, from the Tanoim, except for the Dikduk, that's on his own, that's not in the Tanoim. So Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, Eloshen Tzav, Eloshen Ziris, Miyad Oledaris. It only has a technical term. You only apply the term of mitzvah and tzivui if it's a din that applies throughout all the future generations. So Korban Pesach was a din l'dor. So that says, Bnei Yisrael Osu, Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Moshe Eniken, Bizas Mitzrayim, to knock on the next door neighbor's doors and to ask for matonis. That was only once in the history of the world. So that says, Bnei Yisrael Osu, Kidvar Moshe. I remember when I was a Talmud in high school, so the Rebbe told us his original pshat. The Haftarah that we read on Parsha Zohar, is that Shaul HaMelech was instructed by Shmuel HaNavi that he should wipe out Amalek and kill the behemoths also. So that's the question. Killing the behemoths of Amalek, Timcha Zecher Amalek, is that included in the Din L'Doros or was that a Hayra Asha? So that's a discussion in the Michilta in Tanoi. So the Pasuk says that Shaul didn't kill all the behemoths and Shaul didn't kill all the people. He left Agag, Melech HaMalek, alive. So when Shmuel HaNavi confronts him, so first he says, I did the mitzvah, then he says, you didn't do the mitzvah. So finally he says, Ki avarti espi Hashem v'espicha. What does it mean, Ki avarti espi Hashem v'espicha? So the Rebbe suggests that maybe that's Peshat. Avarti espi Hashem, I violated the mitzvah that there is that you have to wipe out Amalek, all of the men, the women, and children. Avarti espicha, he didn't kill all the behemoths, if one should assume. The killing behemoths was only Hayra Shoah. It's not a din l'der, it's not included in the din of Mechias HaMolek. So that was only Hayra Shoah at that time. So that's why he says, Ke'avati Aspicha, like, Berein Zalosa, Kidvar Moshe. Kidvar Moshe means the Hayra Shoah, the Dvar Nevuah, the Moshe Rabbeinu said. The din Oibal Dibrei Novi, Chayiv Misa, the Milchasina Chasot Shekasha. The Gemara had learned that from Pesukim, it's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Gemara has the Pesukim Evanim. That Oy Val Dibrei Novi is Chay Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Minchas Tinach is the Kasha. So there's so few people who are Chay Misa B'dei Shamayim. Azar Shoch Al Truma is Misa B'dei Shamayim. Someone eats Tevel is Misa B'dei Shamayim. Zar does Hakrovus Hakrovonis. The list, I think, is less than 10 people are Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Minchas Tinach is, whoever talks Loshon Hara should be Misa B'dei Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. If a person oversleeps and he doesn't say Kriya Shema Bizmana, whoever violates a din deraisa, Zoyv al Dibrei Novi, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi, because he was the greatest Novi. So that's why Bishvu Shani Zochi Hibsadati, because he's a greater Novi than the others. That's why it's not Zoyv al Dibrei Novi. So there are different terutzim were given on this kasha. So now the standard territory to give now is the territory Rav Soloveitchik gave 80 years ago. That Oy Val Dibrei Novi only applies if the Novi tells you something Lohayru Ashoa, that the tzibu to observe it is Beturis Nevuah, Beturis Hayru Ashoa. So when Moshe Rabbeinu said you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara, that's a din Lederis, that's a mitzvah Lederis. So that's not called Oy Val Dibrei Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu was a greater Novi. He's the only Novi who was given Torah that's binding Lederis. Moshe Rabbeinu said they should all knock on the next neighbor's doors and ask for matanis. That whoever would violate that would be Oy Val Dibrei Novi. That was Hayra Ashoa. Moshe Rabbeinu said no one should leave over any mon when the mon fell down in the midbar. And he told them no one should leave over any mon. Someone leaves over mon is Oy Val Dibrei Novi. Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. That was Hayra Ashoa. All the dinim that Moshe Rabbeinu said L'Doros, that's not called Oy Val Dibrei Novi. That's Mochomer. That's a different din. So that's this difference that the Kedusha Slevi brings out over here. B'nei Yisrael Osef Kashatzi B'Hashem Es Moshe says by the Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach is a din l'doros. Masheni came by knocking on the next neighbor's doors. That was Zohar Rashoa. So you can't use such an expression, Kashatzi B'Hashem Es Moshe. There it says, B'nei Yisrael Osef Kidvar Moshe. That was called Oy Val Dibrei Novi. The Korban Pesach Mitzrayim, not everything was a din l'doros. The Mishnah and the Tosefta Pesachim point out that many of the details of Korban Pesach that are described in today's Sedra were only Hayra Ashoa. The Doros, you have to have the Mizbech and do the Zrikas Adam on the Mizbech and burn the Chedav on the Mizbech. Here there was no Mizbech. But they did Zrikas Adam on Shtei HaMizuzos Ala Mashkov. That part was Hayra Ashoa. Then the Gemara says, where did they burn the Emurim? So the Gemara talks about it. The Gemara in Zerachim talks about it. They didn't have a Mizbech. That was all Hayra Ashoa. They had to eat the Korban Pesach, Nastechem, Achagurim, Nalechem, Raglechem, Akelchem, Yaelchem, Achaltem, Osa, Bechipozim. That's not a din l'doros. The doros, when you eat Korban Pesach, you don't have to hold Makelchem, Yaelchem, you don't have to have Nastechem, Achagurim, you don't have to eat Achaltem, Osa, Bechipozim. All those dinim don't apply. One of the many dinim that only was Hayra Ashoa didn't apply the doros is the din, Al Yetcha Ishmi Pesach, Besad Boiker, that after they ate the Korban Pesach, they had to stay in the home, they're not allowed to go out of the house. That din did not apply to Doros. The Tosefta lists it off. Which dinim applied only as a Hayra Ashoa, which dinim to Doros. Remember when I was a little boy, my father, we lived in Pennsylvania, so my father used to get, there was a newspaper that came out, I think, once a month, the JWB Circle, the Jewish Welfare Board Circle. So I remember the middle page used to have book reviews. So as a little boy, I used to read the book reviews. So there was a historical novel that was written around 65 years ago, I was a little boy, I think it's called The Last of the Just. Rashim and Atzadik was from the Shoria and Sheknes Agdelu. So it's a historical novel based on sources in Josephus and based on sources in the Gemara, what life was like in the days of the Baal Shem. So the one who wrote the book review was a conservative rabbi, and he writes that it's not correct. The book is not accurate because he describes the way the people came and they ate the Korban Pesach, and then after they finished eating the Korban Pesach, they hadn't seen each other in 6 months, because the last time they got together in Yerushalayim, they came from all over the world. The last time they saw each other was Sukkot, and that was 6 months before. So after the Korban Pesach, after they finished, they would visit each other and sing together and greet each other and so on. So it's against the Pasuk in the Chumash, Al Yetzish Min Pesach Pesach. But when I was 10 years old, I knew that was a Heru Ashur. That's not a Din L'Doros. The conservative rabbi didn't realize. He thought that's a Din L'Doros. Al Yetzish Min Pesach Pesach. Why was there such a Heru Ashur? So I remember Rav Soloveitchik used to always give a big Yortzeit Rosh. He has Yortzeit Gimel Shvat. Tomorrow is Gimel Shvat. Yortzeit to his father. So every year he would give a major shir, a 4-hour shir. The first hour was to be halacha. Gemara, he would start off a whole bunch of kashas, and he would present the kashas in such a sharp way that you'd think that no one can ever answer these kashas. And then he would quote a Gemara, and then he would show, based on that Gemara, all the kashas fall apart. It was a very artistic presentation. The regular shir he gave was not like that. The regular shir was fantastic, but it wasn't. He didn't start off with kashas, and then he would review all the kashas. Did you get it? Do you understand all the kashas? He would make the kashas so strong. And then he would quote Gemaras and show how you say it and answer all the kashas. So that was the first 2 hours was a shir and Gemara. Then the next 2 hours was a drusha, hashkofa, drush, on the same Gemara, on the same halacha, he would give hashkofa. It was very fascinating. Someone, Talmud Chacham and Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Sugarman, in Yeshiva HaGolan. I just visited his yeshiva 3 weeks ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael. I gave yeshiva on Asar B'Tevis. So he once made a comment to me that Rav Kook has an essay where he says when you want to develop Hashkafas HaTorah, you should really base your Hashkafa on Halachas. If you're going to base it on Agadata, so we really don't know how to interpret Agadata. We don't have a tradition. But halacha is halacha. You can't negotiate there. So you should really try to develop halacha. You should really try to develop hashkafa based on halacha. So he says, this Rabbi Sugarman commented that Rav Kook himself didn't succeed so well in doing that. Rav Soloveitchik did that very well. Rav Soloveitchik did it much better than Rav Kook. Rav Kook says that's the idea. Hashkafa should be based on halacha because you don't know how to interpret agarata. You can interpret it menakotza lakotza, opposite from each other. So that was the Yortzeit Rosh that Rav Soloveitchik gave every year, 4-hour shiur. People would sit, he was such a good speaker, people would sit glued to their seats. They're waiting for him. This year it was always 8 o'clock at night or 12 o'clock at night, it was the middle of the night. The people were prepared to listen to more. I remember once there was a snowstorm outside. It started to snow in the middle. They predicted snow. Rav Soloveitchik, just to maintain the attention of the audience, he had a shtick. So he would say, the shiur was in Yiddish, so he would say, should I continue with more? So the people screamed out, yes. So he said, you're all stuck here anyway. There's a snowstorm outside. You're going to stay overnight here. So I remember once, the Yortzeit Rosh was on Matzoi Shabbos, so he had to stay in the yeshiva for Shabbos. He wasn't going to come in by plane on Matzoi Shabbos. So it was Parshas Bo, so he spoke about the Seder in the dormitory. So he suggested at that time, this was a long time ago, at that time, there were Dutch colonies in Africa, and there were British colonies and French colonies. I forgot already the whole history of the world. From after the First World War, probably. So they were freeing all the colonies, and the blacks were making their own government. So there's an expression that appears in Tanakh, that describes the attitude that these people had. They used to be subservient to the French and the British and so on, and a colony. And the Pasuk has an expression in Tach, Eved Ki Imlo. When the Eved becomes a Melech, so the first thing he does is he takes Nekama from the masters who tortured him, who misused him, and who abused him all the years. So we saw that in history, the way they would kill all the British and all the French, all the people who were running the government before them. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe that's the reason why the Rebbe Shalom says, "Ishal yetzim in Pesach beisad berka." No one can leave the house, and it shouldn't be Eved Ki Imlach. No one should take any nekama from the Egyptians. And then the morning of Tezvav Nisan, they were whisked out of Mitzrayim. They didn't have a chance to take nekama from anybody. That was his suggestion, based on current events. He would interpret a lot like that. He would, when he gave his drushes on the parsha, he would often interpret history and Chumash based on current events. You see the way things go. It's known that the Beis HaLevi used to give a weekly shir in Parsha, and Apikursim used to come to the shir also because he used to interpret Tanakh based on current events. You see from the way the world is run. So Beishu would say, based on the United Nations, where they took a vote, based on Khrushchev, based on the British government. So you would interpret Psukim and Tanakh like that. It was very good. Many of them are not, and I think I was told that they're soon going to print them in Yiddish. How many people know how to read Yiddish? I can read Yiddish, takes me three times as long as reading Hebrew. I don't know what's taken so long. The family is waiting till people will forget who Rabbi Soloveitchik was. There's so many drushes in Yiddish that he gave that were never printed. Fantastic drushes, and they have tapes. There are tapes available. I don't know what's taking them so long. I don't know. I thought maybe that's Rav Soloveitchik interpreted with a historical outlook. Why Al Yetzish Min Pesach HaPesach HaBoyka? I suggested another possibility. There is a din of Lina. Whenever a person brings a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, he's supposed to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. Ufanisa HaBoyka V'Halachta Lo Halecha. It says that everybody has to stay overnight when you bring the Korban Pesach. You atone Lina, you have to stay overnight. The Rambam writes that the Kohen Gadol has to have an apartment and has to live in Yerushalayim. So the Minchas Chinuch asks, how does the Rambam know? Maybe he can live in Modi'in and commute. Everybody commutes today. Who says the Kohen Gadol has to live in Yerushalayim? So he wonders, how does the Rambam know? So he says, one of my Talmidim, and he tells you the name. It didn't mean anything to me who the name was. I don't remember. One of my Talmidim suggested, because the Kohen Gadol has to bring a korban every single day, Minchas Chavitin, Machtzisa Baboker, Machtzisa Beinu Abayim. He doesn't have to be makriv, but he has to pay for it. So the korban is often on his behalf, so it's Don Lina. So Memeli has to sleep overnight. Every night has to sleep overnight in Yerushalayim. He can leave Yerushalayim in the morning. When he wakes up in the morning, before he brings the Chavitin Kohen Gadol in the morning, then he can go to sleep overnight. But he has to sleep overnight. There's a din of Lina. So I thought maybe that's the din over here. They usually bring all the korbanos in Yerushalayim, so you told Lina in Yerushalayim. Here, each person brought the korban in his own apartment. And he did this because Hadam al Shtem Zuzos v'Yala Mashkov. So maybe the din al Yetzish mePesach Pesach Boker, maybe this was to fulfill this din of Lina, that each home was considered Makomo Mokam HaKorban. Anyway, Rav Soloveitchik gave his pshat. Probably better than my pshat. When did Makas Bechoris occur? So it says, Vayi Bachatzi Halayla. Exactly at Chatzos. It didn't happen the first half of the night. It happened exactly at Chatzos. So there's a Machlokes HaTanoim. We're learning Brachos this year. Machlokes HaTanoim at the end of the first paragraph. Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lozem and Azariah. What is the Zman of Achilas Korban Pesach? So the Mishnah says, and Bamei Madlikin, in the Mishnah, in Ezel Mekoyman says, "Apesach ein nechal elu ad chatzos." You have to eat the korban. You have to finish eating korban pesach by chatzos. So there's machlokes hatanoim whether that din of chatzos is a deraisa or derabbanan. So Rabbi Kiva says that that's only the rabbanan because they're harchikus odem and averim. Mikra din deraisa, you can eat the korban pesach all night long, up until alos hashachar. But alos hashachar is still so dark outside It's very hard to know that it's halos al Shabbos. And the made gzeira de rabbanon, you should know when she'd eat korban pesach after chatzos, nor shelo yavo liday isa koris. If you eat the korban pesach after halos al shachar, you're eating noiser. Eat noiser is koris. So the made gzeira de rabbanon. And Rabbi Lozman Azari holds that it's a din deraisa because it says v'avart be'eretzam balaylo hazeh, and it is v'achalta v'yochlas habasa balaylo hazeh. So the same phrase appears balaylo hazeh with respect to eating korban pesach as appears with respect to makas b'choris. So just like makas b'choris was at chatzos, so to korban pesach has to be by chatzos. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he has the kasha, but it's not the same. Korban pesach is the first half of the night by chatzos. And Makas B'choris was not the first half of the night. It was exactly the split second of Chatzos. It wasn't before, it wasn't after. That's what the Mefarshim point out. Makas B'choris, in Eretz Yisrael, everything is 7 hours before New York. So Mitzrayim also has a couple of hundred miles wide. So Chatzos at the eastern tip of Mitzrayim is one moment, then a mile to the left is going to be a minute later, a mile to the left is going to be a minute later, a mile to the left is going to be a minute later. So Makas B'choris didn't occur at the same split second the whole Mitzrayim. Every location it happened at Chatzos. Chatzos moves from east to west. Chatzos moves, keeps on getting a minute later, a minute later, a minute later. That's what the answer kasha is based on that assumption. So that's what Davnei Nezer is. How can Rabbi Lozman Azari say you have to eat the Korban Pesach by Chatzos? But if it's based on the Pasuk, Balai Malazan should be at Chatzos. So he comes up with a whopper of a Chiddush that you can't eat the Kazayis exactly at the split second of Chatzos. How do we know when exactly Chatzos is? So you have to eat the Korban Pesach in the first half of the night. When it comes Chatzos and you still have Tam Pesach Befiv, so then you enter the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Well, let's say the person will eat Korban Pesach before Chatzos, and then he'll eat some dessert after the Korban Pesach. So he no longer has Tam Pesach Lefiv. So he compares this to Kolsa Kinyana. If a person, there are certain Kinyanim, let's say make a Kinyan Mashiach, make a Kinyan Hagbor, and you want the Kinyan Mashiach Hagbor to take effect tomorrow. Shouldn't be kind of today, it should be kind of tomorrow. So the Gemara says that there is no such thing, Mashiach and Hagbor, Kolsa Kinyana. So over here also he raises the issue. If you eat the Korban Pesach before Chatzos and not Yotze till Chatzos, so it's like Kol Salachi Losei. So he says maybe that's the reason why they said there's a din, a Maftir Nacha Pesach Afikayim, and you're not allowed to eat any dessert, Kadesh Shehet on Pesach Pethib, shouldn't be Kol Sa Kinyona. So based on that interpretation, he came up with a Wap Rabbi Chiddush, that there's a Tosfos has a question whether we fasten like a Rabbi Kiva, like Rabbi Lozman Azari. Tosfos has 2 days. Because you have the Stam Mishnah in Zvachim is like Rabbi Lozman Azari. Mishnah in Zvachim in Ezeu Bekoiman, the last Mishnah is Pesach Ein Anechel Ela At Chatzos. The Gemara says that double negative, Ein Anechel Ela At Chatzos, sounds so sharp. The Mishnah presents it like it's a Din Deraisa. If it would have only been a Din Derabanan, would not have been presented with such seriousness. Should have said, Ochel Mosa, Kodem, Ein Ochel Mosa, Acher Chatzos. Ein Anechel Elo, At Chatzos, sounds like it's a Din Derais. So maybe Halachik is Tam Mishnah, maybe we should pass like Rabbi Lozman Azari. But on the other hand, we usually pass like Halachik Rabbi Kiva Mechavero, and Rabbi Kiva disagrees with other contemporaries of his. We usually pass like Rabbi Kiva. So Tosfos says, not sure. What's the difference? Bottom line, Halachik Lamaisi, you have to eat the Korban Pesach by Chatzos. What's the difference? What is the rice or the rabbanon? So the Gemara says in the end of Pesachim, the difference is they have to eat the matzah by Chatzos. If Chatzos is a din deraisa by Korban Pesach, then there's a hekesh between matzah and Korban Pesach. So you have to eat matzah bizmanaza also by Chatzos. But if Chatzos is only a gzera de rabbanon, the gzera de rabbanon was because they're afraid you may eat it after Alos HaShachar and you'll be chayiv kores. You're eating noiser. But if you eat matzah after Alos HaShachar, the world doesn't come to an end. So you ate before Shachris. You're not chayiv kores if you eat matzah after Alos HaShachar. You're eating before davening. That's not right. Instead of bracha, alachi this matzah, it's a bracha levatol. So Tosfos holds that bracha levatol is only the rabbanon. So the Gemara says, the gzera de rabbanon, if it's only a gzera de rabbanon, not to eat korban pesach after chatzos, The Gezeirah De'Rabbanim is not made on matzah, it was only made on Korban Pesach. If it's a din de'oraisa, then it carries over to matzah because of the hekesh. So that's the shaila b'zman hazeh. Are you permitted to eat the matzah after chatzot? So a lot of people, a lot of the children, take up a lot of time in the Seder. They tell all the gematrios and all the Rashi Tevis and all the pshetlach that the teacher taught them in school. And you don't get to eat the afikayim until way after chatzos. So that's not really right. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, you should finish all the abakaisis by chatzos. The Ramah has a chumr from the Ran, you should even finish the abakaisis. But at least the matzah should be. So the Amnei Nezer has this einfall. He says, if you see that it's coming chatzos and you didn't finish the meal yet, you just started the meal. So he says, you should eat the afikayim 5 minutes before chatzos, and say ala tanai, that if the din is that you have to finish by chatzos, so I have in mind that this should be the afikayman, and he's not going to eat anything till later, till after chatzos. And if the din is that you can eat matzah after chatzos, he has in mind this should not be afikayman. What does it help? But then he wants to eat the whole meal afterwards. So he has this suggestion. If the din is that you have to, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you have to eat the Korban Pesach Manat Torah before Chatzos. So then, Ein Maftir Nacha Pesach Hafikayman only applies up until Chatzos. You want that it shouldn't be called Sekinyonai. He ate the Pesach before, or he ate the Matzah before, and he's not Yotze till it comes Chatzos. When it comes Chatzos and he has Tam Matzah B'fiv, a Tam Pesach B'fiv, B'zman HaMigdash, you have Tam Pesach b'fiv, b'zman hazeh, you have tam matzah b'fiv, he's yotze in the mitzvah, then he can eat the whole meal after chatzos. That's not a problem. If you hold chatzos as a din d'oraisa, so then the whole nature of the din, this is the chiddush of the Avodei Nezer, a suggestion he makes. Then the whole din of ein maftir nacha matzah afikayman, ein maftir nacha pesach afikayman, is kadei she'ei tam matzah b'fiv at chatzos, when he's being yotze in the mitzvah. But then after chatzos, you can continue to eat all you want. That's a chiddush. But if you hold that chatzos is only the rabbanon and it doesn't apply b'zman hazeh at all, then ematir nachamatzafikaymen shum chaviv b'samitzah. So you should go to sleep with the tam matzah b'fiv. So that was his einfall. You should eat dafikaymen 5 minutes before chatzos and say at tanai that you have in mind if the din of chatzos is deraisa like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So I'm eating this in the shame afikayman, and then when it comes chatzos, you can eat all you want. You can have the whole meal afterwards. And if the din of chatzos is only the rabbanon, then ein maftir nacha pesach afikayman applies all night long till you go to sleep. Then I don't have in mind that this should be the afikayman. So this was his einfall based on his kasha. How can Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say that you learn that balayla azeh from Korban Pesach, but by Korban Pesach from Makkos Becheres? Makkos Becheres was at Chatzos, and Korban Pesach is by Chatzos. Not the same. So he came up with a Chiddush. No, Korban Pesach was also at Chatzos. Whatever you eat before, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah till it comes Chatzos, and you have the Tam Korban Pesach with him. Kula Chiddush. It's a big Chiddush. The Pasuk says that they were instructed to Hayru Ashor once in the history of the world that they should knock on the next door neighbor's doors and ask for matonas. So the Lashon of the Pasuk, so the Malbim has a comment. Reyehu kigach shorish and shorayehu on Parshas Mishpatim. So the Gemara says Reyehu prat lahegdish and Reyehu prat lo shoshal akum. Reyehu only goes on a fellow Jew. So what do you mean? Does you knock on the next door neighbor's doors? The Jews also. You should borrow kleses v'chleizor from the Jews. Why should they borrow from the Jews? They're taking from the goyim. That's going to be the Bezus Mitzrayim. So the simple answer is that concept that Reyehu Pratla Akum, Kigok Shari Sharia Pratla Akum, that's only after Matan Torah. This is Koda Matan Torah. So the non-Jews are Reyehu of the Jews. And the mitzvah, the Hayru Ashor, to borrow from the next door neighbor, only applied to borrow from the non-Jews. It didn't apply to the Jews. But the Malbim didn't think so. So the Malbim always has original interpretations. Sometimes they hit the spot, and not always, okay. So over here, he has this original suggestion that they borrowed from the Jews also. They borrowed from the Jews, so the Goyim wouldn't realize why they're borrowing from them. That they're borrowing intending never to give it back. That's a shaila. Is that what it means? V'shoala, they should borrow. Shemachinim ha'shoal, not sezach ha'sechem. V'shoala is one who borrows. That's what it means. V'shoala isha, v'shchen t'mikor ha'sbeisa. I remember that Shabbos that Rav Soloveitchik was here in the dormitory. So he spoke on the Parsha. So he said in the name of Rabbi Hirsch, I still never looked it up. He said Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch has in his commentary on Chumash that by the Harboa Shomrim, it says, Ki isha l'ish me'im re'yehu. When you borrow something, it says, Ki isha l'ish me'im re'yehu, me'im. Over here it says, Sha l'isha mishchento migaris besa. L'isha means to ask for a present, not to borrow. He said, what do you mean they're going to borrow and then they're going to double cross them and then I can't give it back? They're going to fool them. That's what it means. He said, Rabbi Hirsch thinks that they didn't fool them in the first place, but the Malbim thinks that they were fooling them. They were borrowing for the next of the neighbors, intending not to give back. So in order to fool them into believing that they're going to give it back, so they borrowed even from the Jewish neighbors also. It's part of our religion that everybody has to borrow from everybody else. An original interpretation, all because it says Me'es Re'ehu, Isha Me'es Re'usa, and he's working on the assumption that even Kodem Matan Torah, where Re'ehu and Re'usa has a connotation of only Jews, it doesn't apply to non-Jews. That's what the others are not so convinced that that's correct. The Chumash describes again Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Avos Cholav Edvash. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to bring us to Eretz Avos Cholav Edvash, and the Gemara in the first Perek in Chorus raises an issue that milk from a pig is not kosher. That's called hayetzim and atomi tomi. Eggs, an eagle lays eggs. An eagle is not a kosher bird. So eagle's eggs are not kosher either. The Gemara learns it up in the pasuk bas hayano. The ostrich lays an egg. What do you mean bas hayano? The bas hayano is also a yano, the daughter of the yano. So the Gemara says no, bas hayano goes on the egg that the ostrich lays. That the hayetzim and atomi tomi. The eggs that are laid by the non-kosher birds, and the milk that you milk from a non-kosher animal, as the yotzim and atomi is tama, yotzim and atohar is tohar. So the Gemara asks, all live animals are treif until you shecht an animal; it's not kosher. The Gemara says, beime b'chayeh, v'ches kasisere meves. There's a question: what is the yisa? It's not an avela; it didn't die yet. It's not an avela. So Tosfos comes up with the chiddush that there's a new yisa resa ena zvucha. Torah says you have to shecht an animal in order to be allowed to eat, and calls man yidin shecht it. It's called ein zvucha, nisar esay. Others are not so convinced that there is such a nisar esay. Other balei ha'tais are not so convinced. The Rashi says it's a nisar eiv manachai. So Tais is not happy with that. Tais said there's a machlokes Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish in Chulin, the end of Perek Yid Anasha. So we should paskan like Rabbi Yechon. Be'eim b'chaya lav le'ivoy me'medes. Eiv manachai is if you detach a limb from an animal, from a living animal. Because when the animal is walking with all the organs all together, that's not a walking Eiv Menachai. It only becomes an Eiv Menachai when you detach it. That's called Be'eim HaBechaya Lo'ivor HaMedes or Be'eim HaBechaya Lav Le'ivor HaMedes. So we pass them like Rabbi Yechon, Lav Le'ivor HaMedes. How can you call it Eiv Menachai? Well, whatever it is, the Gemara says a live animal has some kind of an Issa. Either an Issa Eiv Menachai or an Issa Ein Ezbucha, Be'eim HaBechaya B'ches Kasisar Eiv Medes. How can you drink any milk even from it? Kosher animal, how can you eat any eggs even from a kosher bird? It should be yotzim in ha'asar, is asar. All live animals are asar. So the Gemara says, no, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises Eretz Yisrael, that it's a land flowing with milk and honey, it must be that the milk is kosher. He wouldn't praise Eretz Yisrael that it has treifa milk. So it's a right that the milk is kosher. So how Tosfos, the Shachan Yerideh quotes the Balei HaTosfos, how do they know that the eggs are kosher? Maybe the eggs from maybe hen's eggs are also treif. The hen is treif. So some say once you have a pasuk by milk, it shows that this whole habamina is not correct. And others say no. Other rishonim say no. You learn up in the pasuk by shiluach hakan. Kikor lefenach kansipa ba'derach emre betzas al ha'efrach mo'al ha'beitzim shalech tishalach ha'semes abonim tikach loch. So if there are eggs. So the Gemara says the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan only applies if the eggs don't have to be from that bird. Sometimes you have a bird sitting on eggs that it didn't lay those eggs. It's sitting on someone else's eggs. But if the din of Shiluach HaKan only applies if the bird is a kosher bird and the eggs are from a kosher bird. It doesn't have to be from the one who's sitting on it, but it has to be from a kosher bird. So it says, V'sabonim tikach loch, has to be mutar b'achila. So if the eggs would be asa b'achila, so there would never be a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. That's what other Rishonim are saying. Some Rishonim are saying, no, once you have a pasuk, Eretzav is Cholav Edvash. They see that Cholav is Mutah. So the same Havamina that we rejected by Cholav is automatically rejected with respect to Beitzim. Shach and Yeredeya. Everybody knows it from the Shach, not so much from the Tosfos. The Shach quotes the Rishonim and talk about that topic. Towards the end of the parasha, you have Kadesh Vayokir Yacha, two out of the four parshas that appear in the Tefillin. And the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation of the pasuk and says, "You should wear Tefillin lamantia Torah Hashem eficha kibyor chazok or tziach Hashem in Mitzrayim." So the simple reading, a simple meaning of the pasuk is, "You should wear Tefillin," and when in conjunction with wearing Tefillin, you should talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. We wear Tefillin, we say Kriyashmas in the third parsha of Kriyashmas. We speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Or some say Kadesh Yoki Viacha while you're wearing the tefillin. So you speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's the Pasha Peshat. Mantia Tas Hashem Eficha. You should talk, while you're wearing tefillin, you should talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the Gemara has an additional, the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation on the Pasuk that when you write Torah Hashem, you write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, you're writing Psukim. So whenever you write Psukim on parchment, here we print it on paper. But if you want to write on parchment, so the parchment has to be menamuta beficha. The parchment has to be from a hide from a kosher animal. If you have an elephant, the basar of the element is also of the elephant is also bachila. The hide is atzom is gidin kanaim atlofim, or is not included in basar. It's muta bachila, but it's not edible. The reason why it's muta bachila is because it's not edible. But still, it has to be. You're not allowed to use or behemoth male for writing, say, Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs. So the Gemara says, what about Ritzuas? Ritzuas, you don't have any Torah Hashem on the Ritzuas. So how do you know that Ritzuas have to be from the hide of a kosher animal? The Gemara says, that's taka not based on the Pasuk Torah Hashem Beficha. That's based on a halacha Moshe Messina Gemiri. We have a tradition, Dol Huchshu, Le Malach HaShamayim, Alor Behemoth Torah Belvad. So in the first parak in Brachas, we're learning Brachas, you see the first parak in Brachas, Tosfos raises a question. Rashi comments on the Gemara that Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that the Kesher Shel Rosh has to be a Dalet, and Kesher Shel Yud has to be a Yud. And then you have the Shin and the Bayi Shel Rosh, and you have Shin Dal Yud is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So according to Rashi, that's Halacha Moshe Mesinai, Kesher Shel Tefillin, the Dalet and the Yud. So it's a noise of the Shem Hashem. So just like the Gemara says, how do you know that the bias? How do you know that the bias shal rosh has to be or beimat Torah? Because you have a shin on the bias shal rosh. So you have a dalet over here and you have a yud over here. So the mele, the ritzuas of the shal yad and shal rosh should be the same as the bias shal rosh. Only the bias shal yad, that doesn't have any oisias on. So that you have to come on to Allah al Moshe Mesinai, luhuchshu l'malach ha-shamayim. But on the ritzuas, you should say that it has to be from a kosher animal. Because it has to be Torah Hashem Eficha. So Tosfos proves that Rashi is wrong. Tosfos says, Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that there should be a Kesher. The Tzura is Dalet and the Tzura is Yud, that's only Midirabon. That part is not Minat Torah. So Radov Lo Soloveitchik has in his Sefer a Teretz on Tosfos Kashyos. He explains how Rashi, he says that he's, you look in the Rambam also sounds like it holds like Rashi. That the Dalet and the Yud is Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Not like Tosfos that it's only Midrabban. So the Rambam and Rashi have to answer this kasha. What do you need a Halacha Moshe Mesinai? That the Ritzuas have to be or Behemoth Torah. Should be learned that from the Pasuk Torah Hashem Eficha and Amuta Beficha. So he has a teretz. Years ago, when children became bar mitzvah, so the minig used to be they would say Shtikol Torah from the Shagas Aryeh and Ilchas Tfil. And now the minig changed, they say, oh, but this Briskerov. Briskerov took over the position of the Shagzai. So they say over the Briskerov's teretz on Rashi. One of the dinim of Korban Pesach is called Ora Lo Yochel Bo, called Benecha Lo Yochel Bo. A Benecha means a Nochri, a non-Jew, or a Jew, Mishan Isnapka Liba Lo Aviv Shabashamai, a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah. What if a Jew worshipped Avodah Zarah and then he's Chayza B'tshuva? So Tosfos assumes a Dava Pashut that he's no longer a Mumal Avodah Zarah. Then he is obligated to eat Korban Pesach. And the Meiri has that in order to answer Tesla Kasha, the Meiri quotes Chachma Hadorah Shalafanenu. Usually that means a Ramban. Here they don't know who he's referring to. The Meiri usually gives, instead of quoting the Rishonim by name, he gives each one a nickname. So the Rambam is Gedoli HaMechabrim, and Rashi is Gedoli HaRabbonim, and the Ravid is Gedoli HaMagihim. Chachma Dor Shalafanen is usually the Ramban. They don't know who he's referring to here. So it comes over the Chiddush that if a Jew ever worshipped Avodah Zarah for the rest of his life, he can't bring Korban Pesach even after his Chosev Betshuva. So then he's bothered with the Kasha, but it says in today's Sedra, V'chayogir Itcham Ger, that if a Ger converts to become Jewish, he also has to participate in Korban Pesach. Even though his ancestors didn't experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, he's not a descendant from the Jewish people. So one might have thought that this is one of the nationalistic mitzvahs that only applies to those who are biological descendants from the Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Pasuk says, no, a Ger also has to participate in Korban Pesach. So the question, but the Ger probably worshipped Avodah Zarah before he converted. So how do we allow him to bring Korban Pesach? So he says, the answer is, Ger Shen Izgar, Kotten Shana Vadomi. That's a big Chiddush. That's a big Chiddush. The Chasam Sefer and his Chidushim HaMaseches Avodah Zarah, right? We don't know where the Tanoim learned this from. He doesn't know where they figured this out. The Gershon is got cotton shenova dummy. So the Mibi says, here's the Pasuk. But this is a big Chiddush that it wipes off the whole past. It's considered as if he didn't worship Avodah Zarah. When you learn the Gemaras, that one could easily interpret differently. Gershon is got cotton shenova dummy, and all the sources in the Gemara always means something else. It means he's not related to the former relatives. Never means that you wipe off the whole past. It means that a brother is allowed to marry a sister. A brother and a sister converted, so Minat Torah, they're allowed to get married. They're no longer brother and sister. The Rabbanu, we don't allow them to get married. Or two brothers convert, they can testify in Bezdin together, because Katan Shonal Adam, in there isn't even a Gzera the Rabbanu. Well, let's say they convert, a father and a son convert, or one converts, the other one doesn't convert, he doesn't Yarshin anymore. They're not related anymore. In the Gemara, it only says it when you get to Yerusha and Kroivim, Kurva, that the Kurva is canceled. Some of the Rishonim extended that the whole past history is wiped off, but that's not Muskel. Pashto says that that's not Muskel. The Minchas Chinuch has a discussion. He points out that there are contradictions between different Gemaras and Pesachim, Asach of Pesachim, regarding the din HaPesach en Nechel Ela Lemenuyev. You can only eat Korban Pesach if you are one of the Mamunim. You have to become a Mamun on the Korban Pesach before the Shechita. They have to know in advance, Mi Vami Aholchem, who's going to eat from this Korban Pesach? If you're not from the Menuyim, so then you're not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. So the Minchas Chinuch has a contradiction between two Gemaras. What does that mean? Menuyev means that you have you are koina a shutfis in the flesh of the Korban Pesach. You own a share, or not? You don't have to own a share. They have a list. They have a list in their mind. They have a list on a piece of paper. They have a list of all the people who plan to eat from this Korban Pesach, but no kinyan is needed. So that the Minchas Chinuch has his Talmidim. He says, my Talmidim pointed out that there's a stira between different Gemaras in Maseches Pesach. So in the Sefer Baravavala Salavetchi, Gan Chumash, he points out that there's a line in the Mechilta on the Pasuk, Mishchu u'kulachem seh, the Mishbechai seh, and Meshachatu ha-Pasach. So Mishchu has the connotation of Kinyan Meshicha. That you see from this Pasuk that the Behema Daka is Niknes ben Meshicha. You don't have to pick it up. A Chumash is very light to pick up. So if I want to be Makna Sefer to you, you're only kodim behagboh, you're not kodim in Meshicha. The Behema Daka, that's a machlokes hatanai. So one Tana says in the Mechilta, Mikan, you see from the Pasuk that Mishchu Kulachem Son, Mishpach Sech, Meshachatu HaPasach, Behema Daka, Nichnas Be Meshicha, there's no need to do Hagboh. Meshicha is too heavy. So it's good enough if you do Hagboh. One Tana disagrees, says you have to do Hagboh even on a Behema Gasa, even on an elephant. How can you pick up an elephant? So Gemara talks about it. All discussion in Kiddushin. So Rabbi Abba Soloveitch says, from this Mechilta you see that they're assuming that in order to become a Mamun on a Korban Pesach, you have to have a Shutvus, you have to have a Bailus. Mishchu, you need really a Kinyan on the Behem, Kinyan Mashiach. The last Pasuk in Parshas Kadesh, at the end of the Sedra, says, Parshas Kedesh. Shamata Sechuka Hazos L'Mo'adom Miyomim Yomima. So the Tanoim have a machlokes in the last perik in Erev. The name of the perik is Hamoitzei Tfilin. Has a lot of dinim about tfilin there. If you find tfilin in the street, then the garbage collectors are going to burn, they're going to incinerate everything. And there's no Erev. So what do? You just leave it there. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So what do? So the Mishnah has a whole discussion. So the Gemara has a machlokes HaTanaim. Is it talking about Chukas HaPesach or Chukas HaTfilin? It's unclear. Because both were mentioned in Parshas Kaddish, Korban Pesach as well as Mitzvah Tfilin. So the Tanu says that Chukas HaTfilin HaKosim Medaber learns out in this Pasuk, Miyamim Yamima only by Yom and not by Laila. The Rambam Paskins like that Laila loves Matfilin and Atur. Miyamim, but Lord, call Yamim that you don't put on Tfilin on Shabbos and Yom. The other Tana says no. B'chukas haPesach haKasa medaber. It's talking about Korban Pesach. Miyamim Yamima means annually. It does mean daily. It means annually, once a year. And the Laila is my tefillin min haTorah. It's only midrabbanan that we don't permit you to put on tefillin by Laila. Gzeirah Shem Yishim Bohem Shem Yafiach Bohem. He may fall asleep. But people usually go to sleep at night. They couldn't imagine a dormitory. Everybody stays up all night. In the days of the Tanaim, people go to sleep at night. So since you normally go to sleep at night, so Zechasha Hashem Yishma Mishama Yafich Bem, he may appear as guest. And that's not Bekovedik to the tefillin. So that's Machlokes HaTanai. So the Gemara says that Bnei Marove, the Gemara in Nida, in other Mesech, the Gemara says Bnei Marove in Eretz Yisrael, they had a practice that when they removed the tefillin, they would say a bracha, Shekadashon, Mishma Lishma Chukov. Tyson says it's based on this pasuk, Shamata Sochuka Hazois. The Bnei Marove thought that held like the Rambam, held like those Tanoim, that B'chukas HaTfilin HaKosim Medaber, and when they took off the tefillin right before the Shkia, they used to wear tefillin all day long, and you're not allowed to leave the tefillin on Balayla, Miyamim Yamim Avalo Balayla. So they took off the tefillin before night, so they were fulfilling the pasuk Shamata Sochuka Hazois, Miyamim Avalo Leila. So they said a bracha Lishmachukav. That's what Shamata Sochuka said. That's what Tosu says. Ramban disagrees with Tosa. He thinks not only if they took off the tefillin right before night, if you wear tefillin for an hour, then you take off the tefillin. Whenever you do, he thinks that the bracha lishma chukav they said when they wore a talis also. On Shabbos, when they took off the talis after Musaf, they would say bracha lishma chukav. It's not necessarily based on this pasuk because the pasuk goes on chukas hatefillin hakasa medaber. He thinks whenever there's a mitzvah, it takes a long time, so at the completion, when you take off the talus after musaf, you take off the tefillin after wearing it for a couple of hours, then you say lishma chukav. That's how the Ramban says. But we had the Beis Yosef says we have a minig at the end of Avodah Tzinyusi Ratzim Ofanecha Shenishma Chukecha Bo'elam Azeh. So the Beis Yosef says Matzasi Kosuv, that because we're about to take off the tefillin, so we don't paskin like the Bnei Marov. The Bavli does not accept this. Bavli says that's what they did in Eretz Yisrael, but we don't do that. We don't say the bracha, but we say Yiras Mafenach Shenishma Chukecha Bo'elam Azeh. That's bimkoim. That's a substitute for the bracha Lishma Chukav. It's like the Ramban. We don't take off the tefillin before Shkia. We take off the tefillin after davening. So we follow the Ramban. We say a substitute for the bracha. It's a very rich sedur with a lot of dinim. This is 1% of the dinim. Very good. Shabbat.